Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Words from the Word on Friday, our Good Friday, April 14th, 2017. You have joined us on the day we acknowledge the sacrifice of our Savior. So we're going to have a little different program set up for us today. We want to acknowledge what our Savior has done. We want to remember and we want to rejoice in all that He has won for us. We want to start actually with the scripture up in Matthew, the 26th chapter. And I thought, you know, there are many writings on what happened and what Christ did and how it happened. And there's so many stories and different things to help us to remember. And I just thought that maybe we will just go to the scripture and read what God has said for us. And so we are going to start, as I said, in Matthew, the 26th chapter. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of a high priest, who was called Capernaum, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." When Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly, fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the high priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "What do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And Jesus said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at your house with you, my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When even had come, he sat down with the... Now, as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the tray, in the dish, will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And he said, you have said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, even if all were made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all of the disciples. And then we go down to the 47th verse. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the high priest, the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whoever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot pray my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then would the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In that hour, Jesus said to the multitude, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Then the disciples forsook him and fled. We then know that he went before the courts, he went before the church of that day, and then down to the 69th verse. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus the guilt. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrayed you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. We're going to stop there and give those on the line opportunity to share as we prepare the rest of our session on this wonderful Friday fellowship. We want to start it with the Word of God to put before us the picture of that day in our minds, so that where are we in this setting? The woman or the betrayer or the one who denied him or the one that fled. Where are we in this picture and in this story of Christ? And I know we have a lot of different resources available to us that help us study this time and what they did then. But, you know, let us reflect today on what have we done now in this scenario, in how we have had our fellowship with Christ. And where do we see us in this story of the passion of Christ? The lines are open. This is Friday Fellowship. We like to be in dialogue with one another, so feel free, take your phones off mute and share this morning, this Good Friday morning. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I think that, good morning, overseer.
Good morning.
I think that sometimes we may not deny him verbally as Peter did, but when we don't acknowledge him in all of our ways or trust him in keeping us or meeting our needs, then we're denying him. When we don't share him with others, and when I say share him with others, I mean telling of his goodness or of his word or what have you, we are denying him. There's so many ways that I think we deny him, maybe not verbally to others, but even sometimes, you know, in conversation when people are saying things, if we don't speak up for him, you know, how some people, when they're talking about certain things, and we know that, you know, Christ is the answer, or in the scenario, we should be sharing what he did, what he said, his perspective on that. We're denying him. That's how
Amen.
I, that's what I got out of that.
Amen. And I know
good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
But go ahead, Overseer, and I will share after you.
No, no, you go ahead. Remember, there's this 5-second delay, so it's okay. Just go ahead.
Oh, I keep forgetting that. As Evangelist was just saying, and Holy Spirit just slapped me in the face again of remembering something. I was in according and going along with what Evangelist just said. I was in a regional meeting for work and up in Vernon Hills in a beautiful setting. It was gorgeous, the conference room, the beautiful sunshine. And the person that was leading the meeting, the thing on the agenda was, tell us how you feel on this sunshiny day, anything. Okay, so it went around, and I just chose to be last. They had an easel, go to the board and write whatever. And everybody was talking about the S-U-N-N-Y day. I chose to talk about the S-O-N-E day. And it got very quiet. And because I came to a point of, at that time, the world can tell us what they want us to hear and know and what they think and how we should feel. I decided to tell them how I felt about that S-O-N-N day. And I shared about the S-O-N. And, of course, you know, being polite and politically correct, everyone just said, oh, that was nice, Margaret. Thank you. And so I was done with it. But, oh, glory to God, it always reaches one. And that was the good thing. I did have a lady come by me, even though she did it in the washroom quietly and quick, to say, that was beautiful. I understood what you said. And I just said, well, thank God I did reach that one, okay? So I agree with the Evangelist. And like I said, even when we're in traffic and just sitting, you can have someone pull up in a car in the next lane, and that music can be blasting, and it can be one of those songs with the ugly, nasty, nasty words. You can let your window up, but you still can hear them. But yet and still, for us as Christians, to share the word, I believe that we use it that say that we're more intelligent and we just will be riding down the street blasting the gospel. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't know if that's intelligent or not. I mean, I don't know about that. I use that evangelizing. But I agree with her that we sometimes let the opportunity to pass us by about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's it.
Amen. 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 Anyone else?
Minister Paulette, you know, so many times, sometimes the doctors can tell you this, and thus. And I have always been one to say, well, you know, after you finish, it's going to take God to complete whatever you started. You know, and they'll look at me, you know, and I remember I was taking a test. You know that test for carpal tunnel. And this man was sticking his needles in me. And so every time he would stick me, you know, it hurt. I said, oh, Jesus, you know. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the exact words he said to me. But I told him, I said, you can stop this test if you like. I said, but I'm going to call on my Jesus because this pain hurts. And if it offends you, I'm sorry, but Jesus is my help. Not you. Do you know
Amen.
Do you know he would not complete the test because I was calling on Jesus?
Yeah.
I didn't get it. because I told him I was going to keep on calling him. So he had to miss it.
Okay.
You know. So we have to stand up for, you know, and let them know, yes, God has given you the wisdom, yes, but he completes whatever you start. It's not you.
Amen.
Even in the birth room one time, this lady was having a baby, and she was calling on the Lord. And the doctor said, I'm your help, you know. I'm the one you should be calling. And I looked at him, you know, but I couldn't say nothing at that time, you know, because I'm working with him. But I was waiting for her to tell him, you know, because he was, you're delivering the baby, but her help was whom she was calling on.
Amen.
She didn't stop. It didn't make, you know, what he said didn't make her stop calling on him. So that was her answer to him. Because she definitely didn't stop calling on him. May I ask a question?
Yes.
I'm thinking about Peter. Now, what did Peter get out of this? Judas got the silver, but what did Peter get out of this denying Christ?
Well, I think that, and that's why I ask, where do we see ourselves in this scenario? Because what Peter got out, and remember, he was the one that pulled the sword. He was ready to die for him. And that's kind of our testimonies that are going on now, okay? And that's real. That is real. That was his heart. It was pure as it related to that. But when it came to some other area in his life where he was being associated with Jesus, is where he denied him. So how often are we in our living, in our interaction with other people, you know, whether it's our job, like you say, driving on the road, does our conversation
match our belief,
or does it fit us? So what Peter received was he gave in to his flesh. He was fearful of being rejected by people and punished. Well, he didn't fear punishment as a soldier. He would die, you know, proudly. But not when it came down to living for Christ. He was ready to fight for him and die for him. But he wasn't prepared yet to live for him. He had not given up himself to Christ. And that's where we find ourselves. We'll see it, and we can stand yes, the Lord God, yes, you'll defend him and die like a martyr, but we won't live like a saint, because that's in meekness, humility. Yes, yes.
Overseer.
Yes,
good morning.
Good morning.
I was thinking on this way. God had foretold it. And if Jesus said something, I think it will come true, whether he wanted to or not. I think he would have possibly had to say it. Do it anyway. God had said he was going to say it.
Okay.
And God cannot lie. I think you have to say something whether you want or not. I don't know. But that's the way I was looking at it.
Okay. And then remember, the reason Christ told him that was because Christ knew already what was going to happen. So he didn't say it because Peter had to say it.
Yeah.
He said it because he knew Peter would say it. And that's the way he is. He knows our weaknesses. And he lets us know that he knows them, but he loves us. And he wasn't going to change. That did not change Peter's destiny. It did not change Peter's ministry. It did not change Peter's
But God Christ is letting him know, I know the things that are going to happen. Let me share them with you so when they do, you can know that I know and that I knew and told you. And it didn't, it wasn't that he couldn't say it or he had to say it because Christ said it. Christ said it because Christ knew he would. So it's those are the things that even as we go forth that we're already forgiven, really, when we're in Christ because he already knew when he died on the cross everything Paulette was going to do. He knew. And he died for that so that I could be free. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Somebody found me to be muted, but I was going to say, I was going to say that I think sometimes, like Evangelist Narvella said, you know, God knew it. And sometimes today people use that excuse that God knew I was going to this and that. So they use that to continue in what they do. Because I've heard people say, well, God knew I was going to do it. So I'm going to do it. So, you know, they use that as an excuse to do it. But I don't. I think God want us, I think the Lord want us to get something else out of this, not that just because he knew it, to justify continuing doing things that are contrary to him or, you know, whatever. But I know people have said, well, he know I'm going to do it, so I'm going to do it. But I don't. I think it's we're to get more out of that than that.
And I think that's because we miss who he is. We don't know who he is. We don't fully understand. And so he's not saying, I know you're weak, so you can be weak. No, he's saying, I know everything that's going to happen to you because I've seen it already. I've seen it because I'm omnipotent, I'm omniscient, I'm omnipresent. I know the beginning from the end. I know the end before it even happened, before you were born. I've seen the picture of your life already. And I've even seen you say what you just said. However, he knows our end. And so I am not to say that those that say that have a good end. That's not my judgment. But we need to understand that he does know, and it's been covered. And we're going to get to a place that if we confess our sins, we'll realize that he's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us. But when we choose to reject cleansing, then we go to a reprobate mind and then a place that is not good for us spiritually. Okay?
Amen.
And those things he knows as well. And so there is nothing that is happening that is being condoned by him. It's just being known by him. And because he knows it, he will reveal it to some people like he did to Peter. And he knew what all of them would do, but he didn't tell all of them what they were going to do. But he told Peter because he had a plan and a purpose. And so that's why I said what Peter got out of it was his flesh was revealed to him. What was really in his heart was exposed. And once the exposure came and he weeped bitterly. There's some things we don't know is in us until we're put into challenging positions. And then we really find out, as they used to say, when the rubber hits the road, what's really down there. Now, there's a lot of stuff that's there. It is good. It is of God. But there's other things that the light of his word has to shine on in our heart to reveal to us, you got some ugly in the right-hand corner on the left, you know, halfway to the center. And it has to be revealed. And that's what he was doing with Peter. He was revealing it to Peter, but more than that, he was establishing for us how he works. So he was letting us know, your sin, your rejection of me does not mean I will reject you, because you have a ministry, you have a destiny in this kingdom. And you, even in your error, your destiny is there. And it is not going to be snatched from you because you denied me. I know you were going to do it, but you still need to know you got to feed my sheep. Because you denied me three times I established you when I said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And he said it three times. So each one was like erasing that other thing. But the thing, and then Peter, and by that time, Peter says, Lord, you know all. So that's when he got it. Because at that point, he realized, yes, and he does know all. He knows all. So that means everything that Christ had told them, at that moment, Peter was understanding all that. He understood the reality. You know, you can get a knowledge, and then you can know it. It was at that point it became real in his life, when Christ said that three times, those three times. Not the first time, not the second time, but the three together, because the three denials. Okay, and he reestablished some things. So that's what Peter got. You know, I don't even think that Judas, you know, we say Judas got 30 pieces of silver. Judas did love money, but Judas' main purpose was to push Jesus into action. He felt that, first of all, he had no clue that the religious community would do what they did. None. But he felt that that would make Jesus then, you know, pull his sword and go into action, because that's what they expected the Messiah to do. And he wasn't doing that. He walked around being all meek and lowly and loving, and, you know, they go, okay, this is all good, but now when are we going into action? Remember, they were ready to sit on the right hand and the left hand. You know, they figured, what do they call it, a takeover was coming. And just like in the past, children of Israel, they went to a place and they wiped out all the enemies and they became, you know, the rulers of the land. That's what they were looking for. And that's why Judas even made himself clear. I'm not one of them, you know, one of those country boys. I was raised in the city. That's what he convinced the high priest. So, you know, I understand how this goes, but he didn't. And so it wasn't, you know, yes.
No, yes. Go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I just wanted to.
No, go ahead. No.
I just wanted to know if I could share something I was reading about the background with Peter. Exactly, this incident. And this information is out of actually the Bible commentary. But it says, while Jesus was undergoing his trial before the Sanhedrin, Peter was also undergoing a testing. He had followed the Lord and gained entrance into the house of the high priest. As he sat in the courtyard awaiting the outcome of the trial, he had three opportunities to speak up for his Lord. All three times he denied he ever knew the accused or was in any way ever connected with him. The first denial occurred when a servant girl said in front of others that he was one of those who had been with Jesus. Another girl at the gate of the courtyard more directly pointed Peter out as one who had indeed been with Jesus. Finally, a number of those present came and accused Peter of being the one who had been with Jesus, for his Galilean accent gave him away. With the third accusation, Peter began to call down curses on himself, and he swore, Peter began to call down curses on himself and swore. The calling of curses on himself was a legal way of seeking to affirm one's innocence. If the calamities did not follow, he would be assumed innocent. And I thought that was particularly interesting. And then it says, as he publicly denied his Lord the third time, immediately a rooster crowed. That triggered in his thinking the words of the Lord. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Peter knew immediately he had failed the Lord. Though he had affirmed that he would never forsake the Lord, he had publicly denied the one he loved. Filled with remorse, he left the courtyard and wept bitterly. His tears were tears of true repentance for having forsaken and denied the Lord. And you know, when I was reading that, the one thing I never heard anybody talk about when you swore that they were waiting for, like, I guess, like, for God to strike you dead or something if you were lying. But I just thought that was a very interesting thing. But basically, you know, just in line with what you said, that he was truly remorseful and had repented in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we thank God that he's the God of another chance.
Amen. You know, and in so many instances, that speaks to our life as well. You know, when I heard the swearing, it says he was swearing. It's like, how often does our conversation sound like that to God? You know, and not just, you know, when you say, how many times they can say, you know, I'm saved, but you know what? God know I am. And then you're going to say cursing, or you're going to get somebody told, or you're going to speak in any way that is not Christ-like. That if a person were to hear you, they would not associate you with Jesus Christ. So how many times, you know, has that been the case for us? And sometimes we don't look at that. But it's those things that creep into our heart that causes us to be self-righteous. It causes us to harden that area of our heart from God and doesn't allow God to circumcise us. But in anything we do, they say, when you get to every word that comes out of our mouth, we will have to give an account for. So the foolish gesture, you know, the things that you really lie and say, I don't lie, I was just kidding. No, that's a lie. And Christ died for it. And we need to understand that. That was one of the things of the Seder and Holy Week. If we understood the holiness of God, and all of the things that were instituted for the children of Israel to do in order to just be in his camp, not his presence, but his camp, we would understand how we have become so familiar with him, as they feel familiarity breeds contempt, that we have really contempt for God. Because it's like, well, how dare he, you know, why am I suffering? I'm a Christian. Are you kidding me? You know, the Bible says it's just barely that those that are holy will come in, as he was talking about the spiritual leaders of that time. And so these are areas that we think more highly of ourselves than we ought, because we feel, you know, Christ, which he did. Christ paid it all. But after that, there comes that abide in me. It comes that abide in me. After that, it comes that, you know, fix the soil, get the soil in your heart right. After that, it comes, where's the fruit that you look like him? Okay? That was one of the things they looked at him and associated him with Christ. They remembered what he was doing and associated that with him with Christ. Then they heard his voice and associated him with Christ. And in each one of those things, he denied it with his mouth. But how often do we deny it with our actions and with our words and with our thoughts? You know, and so there are those times where, you know, we are with the alabaster box, okay, giving him, you know, every precious thing that we know to give him and lavishing it upon him and lavishing our love upon him. But those are moments, and those moments to become a choice every moment that we're lavishing our love upon him. And so we have to always be at a position, and that's what the scripture says, come unto me and learn of me, to be at his feet learning of him as Mary was. And so we have to not be, I want to say, comfortable in any position, but unless it is humbly bow beside him. or yoked with him as we go this abiding. That's the only position that we should get comfortable in, and that is the position, just like our lesson in abiding me is showing, that is the position that the Father has united us in to his Son. And so that let his Son rule and reign, let all that comes from the Son be that which brings us life, because we have disconnected from the other source that we were connected to, and we have received the invitation to come and abide with Christ. And so those are some of the desires that God was presenting, or some of the situations that we find ourselves in that God was presenting in this story, because in each one of those there was an answer. God had an answer.
Over there.
You know, for, yes.
So I hate to be elementary here, but can we look at the lady with the alabaster box? What made
sure.
her come? What made her come? May I ask?
Yes. Remember, these are not isolated incidents. This is Christ's life. He is traveling. He is going from one place to another. He is doing things for people. He is healing them. He is giving them worth and acceptance. He's causing them to love themselves again. And so you think too much is get to whom much is given, much is to whom much is forgiven, much is required. But one of the things that we have to remember, as he went through the streets, he changed people's lives, and they stopped
okay.
what they were doing. They repented. They didn't just stop what they were doing and went on with their life. A lot of them stopped what they were doing, and their life became followers of him, and that's what she was. So everywhere he went, he had those that were genuinely grateful for what he had done. They may not have fully understood, you know, the fullness of why he was there, but they were grateful. And so in those days, when they walked, it was dirt roads. There, you know, there's animals everywhere. There's animals release themselves. And they had saddles. They didn't have shoes and socks like we do. So every time mm-hmm. someone would come into someone's home, the servant of the house would be required to wash their feet. Because otherwise
okay.
you're bringing, you know, things out there. You're saying, you're tracking up the house. Okay.
Well,
right. it's not just tracking up, but remember there's poop and stuff. And so this is the way she felt she could give back to someone who had given to her, had given her a life, had lifted her up out of. She was one of the Marys. And so what she was doing was that she had this stuff because her life hadn't always been holy, and she had accumulated some things and wealth of this oil, probably as payment for the things that she did, and it no longer held the value that she sought it for originally. So now she was giving it to God. It was all she had. She was bringing it to him. And as his servant, and as a servant with a servant heart, she washed his feet with it. At one point, there was a Mary that washed his feet with her tears. She didn't have anything to put on. So her
mm-hmm.
tears overflowing soap, and then dried it with her hair. So these
mm-hmm.
are instances of worship. So in this, her doing that, and that's why God is always, he got a plan. And he had her in that plan. And the fact that he knew his son, when those that died in those days, they would to prepare their bodies. They put certain perfumes and things on them, certain, oils and things, and then they would wrap them before their burial. Well,
right,
because God is sovereign, and he knows, and that's why Christ said, no, what she's doing, she's preparing me for my death, for my crucifixion. She's doing this because when it happens, y'all ain't going to be able to do this for me. Because he knew what was going to happen. But they weren't going to be able to take him down, which is why the women came to the tomb later, because of the Sabbath and Holy Day, they had to take him down. So they were going to go back and apply the oils and things and wrap them and whatever.
Right.
So he knew that when he came back, he wasn't going to be there. So that's why what she did, he said, they will always have to tell this part of the story and what she has done. And so that was the reason. That's who she was. And that's who, you know, we want to be, so that we can always, whatever we have, and that was part of the, that's part of the book of Acts, of putting, putting the oil on him and preparing him. So someone wanted to read Luke 22. You can do so now.
You say somebody wanted to read it? Minister Paulette?
No, that's okay. Right. But that, no, we don't have to. So we do want to, at this holy week, just looking at some of the things that is in the story that we've heard it so many times before. But looking at it anew and fresh, one of the things, you know, I had thought about was the seven places Christ shed his blood and the reason for those things and how they affect and address our life. The seven words after resurrection, how powerful they were, and just as powerful as the seven places that he shed his blood. And so I was going to just briefly share that, just in bringing up in our remembrance to the things that happened for us.
Minister Paulette?
Yes.
Can I share some with you right quick?
Yes.
Yeah, can I share something with you right quick?
Yes.
Oh, I have read somewhere where in the garden when Peter had cut the ear off of the servant, that and when Christ healed him, that was one of the last miracles that he did while he was here. And it made reference to how, here this man was his enemy, but yet he had compassion on him, and that we should pray for that same grace to be like Christ. When one come against us, let Holy Spirit empower us to reach out to our offenders and opponents and to love them the way Christ would have loved them. So I just wanted to share that, even in his last, doing that.
Amen. And how many times have we read the scripture where it says, bless those, who would use you? Pray for your enemies. And it's like, pray for them, and you got to forgive them. You got to love them and forgive them. That's what Christ was showing. He was putting forth. And he was also helping Peter. Because what Peter did, I'm sure, was punishable by death. Because those were Roman soldiers. and he had attacked him with a sword. That was something that was easily regarded by Roman soldiers. But if he doesn't have any evidence that something had happened, they really couldn't bring it up. Otherwise, it would make Jesus, it would verify that Jesus was the Son of God, because he did do that miracle. So it was better for them to not mention it, okay? Otherwise, they would hurt their own king, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Mm.
So as we, there's some music that this, for me, was just so powerful. You know, I wanted to share that as well while we were in our Friday fellowship. And so as I share the seven places that Christ shed his blood, I wanted to have that song playing because it is a just some sound that day. Sound of that day. We call it the interlude. I can find it. Maybe just but I will start to read. Just seven places that Christ shed his blood. Christ shed his blood in the Garden of Gethsemane to redeem our will. And in Matthew 26:39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. The second place, Jesus was whipped to break the curse of sickness and disease from our life. Who? His own self bared our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. The crown of thorns was placed on Jesus' brow. It breaks the curse of poverty and releases us into God's abundance. For in Genesis 3:17-18, the curse is the ground. For thy sake, in sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall they bring forth to thee. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Galatians 3:13. The fourth place, Jesus' hand was pierced by the nails to restore total dominion to the works of our hands. And in Deuteronomy 28:12-13, it says, and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt mend unto many nations, and thou shalt not bow, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and that thou shalt not be beneath. And the fifth place, Jesus' feet were nailed to the cross to restore dominion in where we walk. Every place that the sole of your feet shall trod upon, that I have given unto you, as Joshua 1:3. The sixth place. The spear was thrust through Jesus' side, showing that he died from a broken heart to heal our broken heart. From Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And then the seventh place, Jesus bled on the inside when he was bruised to break every iniquity and the inner drive of sin in our life. Because Isaiah 53:5 says, he was bruised for our iniquity. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
And I pray that this will work for us, that you can hear. Praise the Lord. So we want to worship him and to realize
he's not there.
don't cry. And he has a prelude also that is very powerful. And they are the sounds of that day. And I'm sure that Friday there were many tears in the eyes of those that had followed him, had loved him, that were enamored by his life, that were grateful to him, that worshiped him, and their hearts were broken. And tears and sorrow all over the land had to be going on, even though he had promised them he would come back. But for them, their pain was very real. They saw their Savior hanging on a tree in the most heinous way of torture and death. He was suffering. They said not even recognizable because he had been beaten so. And they had to have had a sorrow that is beyond our understanding. And I do want us to realize that as real, it is real. It is real. It was real for them, and it's real for us. And when he said, the song says, don't cry, not just for them, and Jesus told the women of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, you know, but weep for thee. And so to remember, even in heaven, those tears are real because God said he would wipe them away. So he understands our sorrow. He understands our struggle. He understands those things that torment us, for Christ has experienced them so that he can intercede for us with such a powerful love and passion that he only desires we would have for one another and for those who are yet to come into the family, because that is the passion and the love that will draw them. And so we do. We want to remember those tears. Remember how tears come and the fact that God treasures them and he does put them in a bottle. And he is not, it has not been in vain. And it will, there is a day coming. And he says he is not dead. And when he comes back again, that which they thought, they tried to stop, they will only see that it has cemented their position in hell. And so we cry for them, and we pray for them, and we want to commit our life to go forth unto all of the nations as Christ has commanded us to do, you know, discipling and baptizing in the name and making disciples of Jesus because he's worthy. He's worthy.
Amen.
And his kingdom will come. The kingdom will come. So as this is going to the corner, to the end of our Friday fellowship, the lines are open. You can share with us your heart, your passion, your commitment, your revelation, your sorrow, even a place of, for me, of just, you know, being repentant of how I'm not honored in every, he says, with all your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, your strength, all of it. And he is so worth all of it. And there's so much that we must surrender to him. And my prayer is I desire not to be a hard-hearted in any place in my heart and not to withhold any place from him and to present ourselves. Open book, you know, search us. And what you find it isn't right, Lord, show us so that we can surrender and give it up so that we might be used by them. It was a song years and years ago, and this is part of the script that's in the song. But give me a clean, you know, so that I can be used by you. You know, Lord, meet us so that I can worship you. And so we do want him to purify us and cleanse us, and this is your opportunity, Friday Fellowship, to share and dialogue Friday service.
Overseer,
and I wanted to say this, Overseer. I was
Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody else is going. This minute, Pat, wanted to say when you all was talking, my phone died. It was like so much was going on, and it kept dying. I'm like, okay, I gotta grab my husband's phone, but I wanna. This it was so important to hear everything that went forth on today. But he gave me the Psalms 51 where it says, "Created me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me." And as you all were speaking, that's a day by day. It's a process, but it's a day by day, moment by moment challenge. It's him doing it. It's not us doing it. It's like that onion and that layer, and every day he's taking out layers after layers and layers. And sometimes you think that you're past a certain part, and then he has to show you, no, that's just one layer, but you got many, many layers underneath that needs to grow and mature. And I just thank God that he don't give up on us. When we give up, we get into guilt, shame, or condemnation, and that's a sin in itself, that he won't give up on us, that he will love us unconditionally, and he just wants us to continue to draw near to him, and he draws near to us and seek him no matter how it looks. Seek him and allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct. And it has truly been a blessing in with this devotional as well as the biblical study and everything else, just to know that he really loves us and he calls us friends, and it has made a difference that I don't have to waver in my faith. I don't have to feel that God is not there, because he's always with me. And it has changed everything because of the love that he has, and realizing he really do love us, as is in the search for significantly. And I always remember all those scriptures you all gave, that he forgives you, and you're fully pleasing, and you're lovable, and you're acceptable in him. And so you don't have to feel like because you sinned or you did something wrong, because he already, as you all were saying earlier, he knew that would happen. But you can go to him and repent and confess and then continue to walk in the will of God. And so that's all I want to say. I just thank God for, just his truth and his revelation and his love for us all.
Overseer, can you tell me the name of that song you just played?
Yes, the name of the song is Don't Cry, and it's by Kirk Franklin. It's very old, too, I might add.
Yeah.
But, yes, it's Don't Cry. And then he has the prelude to that he calls the interlude, and we'll play it when we go out. When the program is almost over, I'm going to play that.
He calls it the interlude?
Yeah, he calls it interlude, yes. Okay. And then after the interlude, it is Don't Cry, Kirk Franklin. Yes.
Okay.
And I want to share this with you. It says, do not be discouraged by the difficulty of keeping your focus on me. I know your heart's desire is to be aware of my presence continually. This is a lofty goal. You aim toward it, but never fully achieving it in this life. Don't let feelings of failure weigh down. Instead, try to see yourself as I see you. First of all, I am delighted in your deep desire to walk closely with me through your life. I am pleased each time you initiate communication with me. In addition, I notice the progress you have made since you first resolved to live in my presence. When you realize that your mind has wandered from me, don't be alarmed or surprised. You live in a world that has been rigged to distract you. Each time you plow your way through the massive distractions to communicate with me, you achieve a victory. Rejoice in these tiny victories, and they will increasingly light up your day? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies.
Amen.
He is, that's it, Jesus Christ, who died more than Jesus Christ, who died more than that, who was risen to life at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And the scripture is from Romans 8, 33 and 34. It says, therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of our need. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. And so this is God and Christ telling us he understands. He loves us. And when we feel condemned, it is not him. It is the enemy. And he says, who can bring a charge against those who God has chosen? And so not against our own selves, we bring one against the others in faith, because they are being perfected just as we are by the husbandry and as we abide in the vine. And we want to remember that and be encouraged. Now, when Holy Spirit brings correction, then we surrender to it and we embrace it and we rejoice in it, for it just means that we're going closer and closer and more strongly rooted in the vine, who is Jesus Christ. Any more sharing for this 5D fellowship?
Said we need some paper towels in there.
Overseer.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that I thought that the this was a little follow move, but I thought that song selection was just awesome, completely awesome, and it made me look forward, gave an expectant hope, even though it was intensely somber on one hand. The the message of the song,
yes,
just so joyous. On the other hand, that, you know, we wipe our eyes that he is risen. You know, it had a very unique look. I hadn't heard that in a long time. It's on an album called The Rebirth of Kirk Franklin. Where you have your heart is contrite, because we understand as Peter, you know, we failed him so many times, but then the joy that comes on the other side of that, that he is risen, and no matter we change from grief to joy, like on a dime, you know, in that. And so that song to me was just really powerful. I am going to download it as soon as we get off this call. God bless you.
And I'm going to put it back on, and everybody else is going to get sick of me, but it's okay.
Amen.
And there's several videos for people who want to look at it. There's several videos. If you just go to YouTube and just type that in, you can, you know, it's free. Just write on your phone, you know, whatever. Amen.
But don't do it while y'all drive. Okay. And you know, it'd be better to get in a place where you can go and say it till you feel like coming back, okay? Because it is awesome. I love the interlude. I'm going to try to see if this is it, the interlude to it. You know, it's just the sound of what the music is. So it's a lot of confusion. It's a lot of voices. You can hear, oh, my God, what's happening? What's happening? What's going on? And so it's very profound. You hear the nails. You hear everything.
You can No, I need to go get some herbs.
Eli!
Yeah.
My God. My God. Oh, why?
Don't fry. As the man who does work just in fear, in sorrow, in just misery, tormented by what they were seeing, it was confusion. The city is filled with hundreds and hundreds of people, and there's just panic going everywhere. And remember, when they put our Savior on the cross, God did not take that lightly, and it went dark. It went dark, and so there was no, the sun was covered, the earth trembled. They said the dead were coming up. These things, the temple, the veil was rent in the temple. There was so much power being released, and sin was being bound, and it permeated through the land like an atomic bomb, shaking things up, because heaven was coming to be our Redeemer. We were no longer a gulf that was impassable. Now we were connected to heaven again through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as that bridge was being created for us, so many of the men and women that didn't even know that there was a Christ were looking around going, what is going on? What is going on? And there is coming a day, when that will be like a walk in the park compared to what God is going to do here on this earth when his wrath is released.
That
happens with his love. When his wrath is released, there will be tears that will not and cannot be wiped away, but they will. They will mourn and wail and weep for an eternity. So let us be committed to the work of the ministry of the kingdom and remember the people. Remember the people. Amen. Amen. We want to end with the song and go to day six for next week. But praise God. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy your salvation. Enjoy your Redeemer.
Praise God.
Enjoy your Savior. And submit to your Father who loved us so much that he gave his Holy Son that we could have, so that we could have heaven. So we could have life more abundant. Life full of joy. It's beyond our understanding. A grace that enables us to do all those things that have been put before us to do. He will give us the grace for us. For Christ said it is finished. So everything that we need is in place. And all we have to do is accept the invitation to come unto him. And to the body, right? And watch it bloom and manifest itself as the fruit of our lives will bear. We thank God and we pray and for this wonderful fellowship. Enjoy your week.
Okay.
me.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.